Well, welcome again to Next Level Church. We are so glad that you have leaned into this conversation, this series that we're calling Great Expectations. And my name is Doug, and I'm one of the pastors. And if you can't tell by the song that you just heard, our series, yes, it's about dreams. It's about big dreams. It's about visions and things that God plants in us and puts in us as we look forward to our future and what God wants. But it's also part of this series, a big part of the series is about having to overcome the obstacles that keep us from achieving those dreams in our lives. And so if you weren't here last week, weren't part of what was going on this message anytime, if you didn't catch that anytime, I encourage you to go back to our website, catch last week's message from Pastor Clay as he set this series up and talking about two guys, a guy named Caleb and a guy named Joshua. And so last week, Pastor Clay talked all about Caleb and some things that he did. And I mean, Joshua was there and they did some great exploits. And so today we're going to dive into Joshua. But before we get there, I want to ask you this question. Ever had a dream? I mean, you know, Clay said, what was your childhood dream? And I began to think about mine and what that was. I wanted to be a baseball player. That sometime I want to be a forester. And you know, what happened to those dreams? What happened? And so that was a great question, because it's not just dreams from childhood, but what about dreams you had when you were in middle school? That what you wanted to be and what you want to do, or in high school? Or you were in your 20s and you said, man, this is what life's going to be like. And I got all these dreams and hopes and aspirations. And then you kind of made your way through your 20s, and all of a sudden now you're 30 and you have new dreams. And then you hit 40 and there's different dreams, and 50. And then you hit 60 and you got all kinds of new dreams at 60, believe it or not, and on and on and on. But have you ever had a dream? A vision of a preferred future, of what your future would look like in your eyes, in best case scenario, and you set out to go do that. Maybe it's you wanted to build a business. Maybe you wanted to be a star athlete. Maybe you wanted to be an engineer. Maybe you wanted to be the greatest banker in the world. It doesn't matter what that dream is. The point is, we're asking the question of where those dreams come from and what keeps us from achieving those dreams. Because here's the deal. Sometimes we have these big dreams and we run into people that go, man, that's the most unrealistic thing I ever heard. And we get demoralized. We look at it and somebody goes, there's no way that you can do that. And we feel defeated. Sometimes we get started on that journey of doing that dream, and right in the moment something happens and we hit a wall and it gets too hard and it gets too difficult and we go, I can't. And we stop. And we settle for something else. Pastor Clay said this last week. He said that God's gifts often arrive wrapped in challenges. And sometimes we forget that, because we think that, man, I feel like this dream, I feel like this dream maybe even came from God, and this is something that He's put in me, and I want to do. And we forget that there's challenges there. It's not always going to be easy. And we have to face these challenges head on. And so we're going to look at Joshua, because he was a man in the Old Testament, where actually there's a book named after him in the Old Testament called Joshua. But you can go back in Numbers and you can start reading about Joshua in Numbers. You can hear those scriptures from Pastor Clay's message last week. You actually, in the book just before Joshua, Deuteronomy, you can go and read there, a very last chapter, some significant things happen for Joshua. But just so that you know, some little background on Joshua. All right, Joshua was an Israelite. If you don't know anything about Joshua, he was an Israelite. And these Israelites were in slavery, and they came out of Egypt, and God promised them a new land. And Moses led them to this new land. And then Joshua was one of the people that went in and investigated. They did a little, they worked at finding out what was going on there and who was there and how it was. And Joshua and Caleb came back with this great report. Yes, yeah, a great land. God's given it to us. And the other 10 that went said, no, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too difficult. We can't do it. And I'm talking hundreds of thousands of people heard it's too hard, it's too difficult, we can't do it. And they all said, yeah, we're not going to do it. And then they suffered some consequences. Maybe you've heard that these Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe you've heard that. You can, again, pick up that story in Exodus. But here's the deal. Joshua actually became an aide to Moses, who was leading the people through this process. And so we pick up with this story as God is talking to Joshua. I know that sounds weird, okay? I get that. But hang with me. Watch this. And God says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. So Moses died. You can actually pick up in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and you can see that he died, and he actually set, Moses set Joshua aside to be the leader because he was Moses' aide. And God said, he said, Moses, my servant is dead, gave Joshua the obvious, okay? Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. Take a look at that. God said, you are going to lead these people. Well, they were about 1 million people by that time. You, Joshua, are going to lead all these people, and y'all are going to go into this land. But look at this. God also says no one will be able to stand against you. He's given Joshua some affirmation here. Nobody's going to stand against you. No, nobody out there, nobody internal, nobody's going to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you. And that's pretty strong. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you actually heard God speak to you and God said, go do this, I will be with you. Man, it's incredible. He's going to say, I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. And if you go back and you actually read through the book of Exodus and Numbers, you're going to see that Moses actually talked to God face to face. And he says, I'm not going to fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Man, wouldn't that be exciting? God looks at you and says, hey, man, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I got this big, huge task because you're going to lead 1 million people. I mean, I'm talking about one people. I'm not talking about a whole division in a corporation. I'm talking about 1 million people that you're going to lead into this land that I promised your ancestors. That if you go way back into Genesis, the promise to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, God promised them this land. And now it's going to rest solely on the shoulders of Joshua to lead these people to this land. Man, that's pretty heavy responsibility, right? I mean, that's a really big deal. That's really hard. And so here's the deal. He promised, this is a story that had been passed down for hundreds. When I say hundreds of years, I'm talking hundreds of years. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then there was another 400 years after that. And the story of how God spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, each individual. Abraham is Isaac's father, and Jacob is Isaac's son. There you go. I said that right. And God spoke to them and said, hey, this is the land I'm going to give you. This is the land. This is the land. But they ended up going down to Egypt and they stayed there for 400 years. And this is a big, huge story in the faith tradition of the Jewish people. And here this exists, and Joshua is the man that's supposed to lead these people. But what about me and you? I mean, when's the last time you spoke to God and God spoke back verbally? You know, that doesn't happen to me. I know of a few people that have had somewhat of that experience. I have impressions and understandings and inclinations as I read the Bible and talk to other people. But I mean, me personally, I've never had this experience where I heard an audible voice of God. Not happen. But what about me and you? Because God still gives visions. He still gives dreams. I mean, you have aspirations. Where do you think some of those come from? Now, some of those are welled up in our own personal desires, but some of those come from God because He's placed them in you. And if God has placed them in you, He's going to enable you to achieve those dreams. So how in the world was God going to empower Joshua to lead these people to this new land that's been promised to them for hundreds of years? What was the plan? What was the plan? He said it in the next verse, Joshua 1:7. Be strong and very courageous. Oh, great. Be strong and courageous. Oh, great. I get to be strong. I get to be courageous. You know what that means? That means that I'm going to be challenged on every side, and I'm going to get discouraged a whole lot. That's what that means. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey. What? Be careful to obey. I mean, he didn't say, like, get a whole bunch of people around you. He didn't say, raise up a whole bunch of money. He didn't say, get all the things together that you need to get together. Put together your own army, that's your own personal army, and they're embodied to you so then you can go do what you need to do. No, he didn't say any of that. He said, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. What? I mean, this is God's plan, really? To lead a million people into a land that's occupied, and they're going to take over the land, and God's saying, hey, Bo, here's your best plan right here. I want you to obey what I told Moses. Obey it. Don't turn from the right or left. I want you to do exactly what I told Moses to do. It's written down for you. You've got it. Make sure you do it. And then when you do that, you will be successful in taking that land. What? What kind of plan is that? What kind of janked up plan is that? Really? I mean, that makes, from our perspective, that makes zero sense. Okay, you're going to take this land, but I got these words over here. I got these words in this book over here. Okay, it's not this kind of book, but it's a book. It is God's, what God said to Moses. He said, I got these words for you. I want you to read them. Be very careful to read these, and then I want you to be obedient to these, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Really? That's the plan for Joshua? Yeah, that's right, because I'm asking the question about me and you too. I mean, how can we be obedient to this vision that God's placed in us? How can we do this? How can we make that happen? If God's given you a dream, if God's given you a vision, a preferred future, how do you make that happen? I think it's just like Joshua. It's this idea of being obey. Obey the words of Moses. Okay, we got a few more words than Moses's, but obey the word. So how do we do that? How do we, you and I today, Joshua's talking to God. He's having a conversation with him. I don't have that luxury. Not verbally. How do we do that? How do we obey the word, this word that was left for us, this revelation of God? That's a very complex, but nevertheless, a revelation of God to us. How do we do that? Well, it starts with this. Again, I'm asking the question, what are obstacles that we overcome? How do we overcome those obstacles? It starts by study the Word. Study the Word. That's right. Study the Word. Sorry. It's not that complicated. Study the Word. Look what he told Joshua in verse 8. He said, study this book of instructions continually. Continually. Over and over and over and over and over. I mean, continually? That's continually. Study this book over and over and over. That's the challenge for us. Study this book. Study it. Not only study it, but meditate on it. What does that mean? About last year sometime, if you were tracking last year, I don't know if you were, but I talked about this concept of meditate, and I used a word called ruminate, to mull over, to think about, to have on your mind. Think about the Word. And he goes on in verse 8, he says, meditate on it. What is the book of instruction? Meditate on what Moses said. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Wow, really? Really? Meditate on it. Study it. Meditate on it. And then I'm going to be successful? Really? Yeah, because, see, there's one more. There's one more piece of the puzzle. Trust that God's always with you. Again, we're trying to answer the question, how do I achieve that dream? Because I hit these walls, I hit these potholes, I get people around me say, I can't do this, things don't fall into place. What do I need to do? I need to trust that God's with me. Joshua 1:9 says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. He says it again. Matter of fact, in some translations it says, be very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Why? Because you're going to hit some hard walls. You're going to hit some opposition. You're going to have some difficulties on this journey. But don't be afraid or discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Man, I mean, Joshua was about to go to war. I mean, he was about to go into a country and in a region and start taking over a region and countries because that was God's promise to those people, to the Israelites. And they were about to go in and take that over, and it wasn't going to be pretty. The takeover was not going to be pretty, and it wasn't going to be quick. It was going to be slow and methodical. As they go from region to region to region to region. And he's saying, listen, be strong and courageous, Joshua. You're going to face adversity. Things aren't going to work out. You're actually going to fail a few times in the process. But remember this, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does that do? Man, it gives us that wells up within inside of us. No matter what we face, no matter the difficulty that you and I go through, within any circumstance or situation in our life, we can know and trust. We got to trust that God is with us in that moment. Why? Because He promised to never leave us and never forsake us and never, ever, ever abandon us. So when God has a big dream for you and for me, it's bigger than what you can do on your own. I wonder why that is. I wonder. You know, because if it's something that I can do in my own self, in my own will, in my own drive, if it's something I can do, I don't need God, right? And so God gives us something bigger. But why does He give us something bigger? So that we'll pray more, read more, study more, meditate more. Yeah, that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to do these things, pray more, read more, study more, meditate more. He wants us to do all those things. And so He gives us this big, huge vision so that we'll do all those things. But why? I mean, why? Is it to do spiritual disciplines? I mean, you know, or because we're supposed to? You know, that's the religious duty. Is that what it's there? Is it simply, you know, God's dangling a carrot out in front of us and we're making Him happy? That's why He wants us to do all those things and go through all those motions and what we would say would be religious duties and spiritual disciplines. God wants us to do all those things just to make Him happy? Really? Is that why? I remember back in the early 2000s, and specifically it was about 2001, when I read this passage from Joshua. I mean, I've read it many times in my life up to that point, and I read it then. And I was praying about and contemplating starting a brand new church. You see, I'd been in ministry already for a long time, and God had done some amazing things in my life, and we were at a very good church, and it was what was called then, might even still be called today, a traditional church. And this whole, what was called a contemporary movement, was coming on the scene. And I began to sense that God was asking me to plant a church. And these verses right here like poured gasoline on this fire that was burning in me, because I got excited. Could you imagine how I felt? Hey, I'm going to be with you. Hey, I want you to do this. Hey, you're going to take this, and because you're taking ground for the kingdom of God and you're seeing the kingdom of God expand and grow, and I want to start this very unique and different kind of church something nobody else is doing. Man, I read that in Joshua, but then I also coupled that with some words from Jesus. And Jesus is talking, and He says here, He said, listen, let me ask you a question. Who, I'm just picking up right in the middle of the conversation, but who, Jesus talking to a group of people, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? Who would do that? I mean, that's like having an old pair of jeans, and you get a hole in them, and you get a new patch, a new cloth, brand new cloth. Right off the ream, you get a brand new cloth and you sew it on there. Well, guess what's happened? The first time you wash it, the new cloth is going to shrink and it's going to tear away from the old. That's what happens. For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old, leaving even an even bigger tear than before. You don't do that. And He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins for the same reason. For the old wineskins would burst because they've already expanded. They're not going to expand anymore. So you put new wine and it continues the fermenting process. The wineskins can't expand. And so from the pressure, they would burst, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. No, new wine is stored in new wineskins. And man, I saw that and was like, man, that's it. That's it, man. This is what God wants me to plant a new church, and He wants me to plant a new church, and it's going to be a contemporary church. It's going to be different. We're not going to have a piano and organ, and we're not going to sit up and stand down, and we're not going to have coats and ties, and we're not going to do any of this stuff. I'm not going to stand behind a big old pulpit and just preach the word in the way that it's just preaching and preaching and preaching, but to shift that to teaching and conversation. New wine in the new wineskin. I said, man, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. And I set out to plant what's affectionately known as TC3, Tri-County Community Church, with a vision of reaching three counties for Jesus. Union County, Mecklenburg County, Cabarrus County. I had a dream. I had a vision. You know what? TC3 doesn't exist anymore. yeah, that's right. TC3 only exists in my heart and a few other people. There was about 80 of us that ultimately merged with Next Level Church. And we became Next Level Church right here in Matthews. And I was looking at this, and I said, man of God, you said you're going to be with me. Yeah, God, you were doing this, and you didn't bring that vision to fulfillment, and did I feel discouraged a little bit as I struggled with that and I wrestled with that. 2001, I hit that verse. It was about 2010, I realized something incredible. That God was with me. We saw great things for His kingdom. We saw people come to know Jesus in three counties and more. But more significant than any dream or vision was the fact that I realized that this new stuff was God working in me and changing me, because He poured new wine into a new wineskin and He made me different. He molded me into something different. You see, that's the deal. You see, we pray more, we read more, we study more, we meditate more. To fulfill the dream? No. Because God wants something in you. He wants to do something in you. He wants to create new. He wants to transform your life and your relationship, because it's out of that relationship that God is working and doing. It's out of the relationship, and God values a relationship much more, believe it or not, than the vision. I'll say it. He wants you to be in relationship with Him. And when you're in relationship with Him, and when you are growing and being what God wants you to be, and you are doing that for the sake of the relationship, God makes you successful. Whether the vision, what you thought the vision was to be fulfilled or not. Oh yeah, I've had big dreams. I left Next Level to go to a church where we had a dream of planting 100 campuses and even a couple on another continent. That dream didn't happen. 8 churches are there, and 8 churches are ministering. All of them have international ministries that are touching continents around the world. It's amazing. And at 60 years old, God's given me another dream. Another dream to come back to the Next Level. Another dream to start a ministry where I'm coaching church planters, men and women who are starting new churches, and they need encouragement and they need prayer and they need insight and wisdom. Why? So the kingdom of God can continue to advance. I've got a dream. But I've only seen those dreams because I pray more, because I read more, because I study more, because I meditate more. Because God's way more concerned about me and Him than all the stuff that I could ever achieve in my life, even for His kingdom. And that's where Joshua was. That's exactly where Joshua was. So what do you need to do? And what do we do for this? Yeah, this is maybe this was inspiring, maybe this was great. And hey, listen, no, it's not about me, it's not about my life. I'm not perfect. I have messed up a whole lot of stuff in my life and blown up a lot of relationships, okay? All right, there's nothing squeaky clean about me. But here's the deal. What about you? What is it God wants you to do? God wants you to pray more, read more, study more, meditate more. Really? No, He wants you to do that so you'll be in relationship to them. How can you do that? Here's how. Start where you are. I would encourage you to do something really simple. Pull out your phone, go to your app store, find the YouVersion app, YOU, YouVersion app, Download that. Set up an account. Start receiving the verse of the day at whatever time of day you want to receive it as a notification. Start there. Read that verse every day. Read that verse. Pray over that verse. Meditate on that verse. Think about that verse. Study that verse every day. And see. And see. If you will be prosperous and successful. Now, prosperous doesn't mean $1 million. Successful doesn't mean everything happens. But prosperous and successful in your relationship with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us more than anything else. We thank you that you care for us. And more than anything else, more than any dream or vision that we have, you are most concerned about our relationship with you in and through Jesus. And it's out of developing that. It's out of reading your word and praying and meditating and studying that we develop and nurture this relationship with you. And then you're able to work in our lives, not for the sake of some religious duty, Lord. But you long to relate to us. So God, help us. Let's start with a simple, to begin a journey of 1,000 miles that begins with one step. Lord, help us to take that step. To keep taking that step so that we can overcome these huge obstacles that come our way that keep us from achieving all that you want us to achieve and the dreams and visions you place in our hearts. Thank you for your love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey guys, thank you again for being with us. And I just want to say, if you have received any encouragement from this message, from these services that we have, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of pay it forward, if I could say that. You can give to Next Level Church. Go to our website, simply click give. You'll see all the drop downs there. And here's why, because if you're benefiting from it, there's somebody just like you that wants to benefit from it. And so it's by other people giving to make this happen that you benefit, and maybe you want to give so that other people can benefit as well. I also want to let you know that we are doing this mission offering that's going to impact our local community, and you may not be in our local community, but we're also doing an international mission trip, and a large part of this offering is going to offset some of the costs for this trip to Honduras. That information is on our website, but more significantly, you can give to our Easter mission offering, and every dime of that will go outside the church. It won't pay for anybody's salary. It won't pay for any electricity. It won't make a loan payment. Every bit of that will go to our ministry partners locally, if in Matthews, but also internationally as well. Another way you can help us out is by liking us or sharing. You can share us with other people on your social media so they could be a part of that. That would be a great way to get the word out and encourage others to be a part of this. Now, let me wrap up today by praying this over you. That Heavenly Father, you would help. You would help all of us to be strong and courageous, to be careful as we move out from this time together, to observe and to obey all that you have for us, to not turn from the right or to the left, so that we may be successful, not for our goodness, but for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You guys have a great week. Thank you.